are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Happy Resurrection Sunday. Welcome, Joy Community Church. What a glorious day to be in the house of the Lord and to hear the Word of God. I just want to wish all of you a very happy Easter. And I pray that your family is blessed today beyond blessed. We want to welcome all of you who are zooming in, or you're listening on the podcast, or you're coming to us live with Facebook. Good morning to you all. It's just great to be here with you this morning. I want to talk to you this morning from the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter, and I want to talk to you about moving from tragedy to triumph. So I want you to turn with me to the word of the Lord. It says, "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him. They took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" From tragedy to triumph. In 1989, a terrible earthquake almost flattened Armenia. It killed over 30,000 people in less than 4 minutes. One father rushed to his son's school and found the building as flat as a pancake. Standing there in tears, he remembered a promise he had made to his son: "No matter what, I will be there for you. No matter what." It looked absolutely hopeless. But the dad went to the back right-hand corner of the building and started digging in the pile of the rubble. The other grieving parents tried to pull him off, saying, "It's too late. They're dead." But he just kept digging for his son, stone by stone. He dug for 8 hours. He dug for 12 hours, 24 hours, 32 hours. And later, after 38 hours, as he pulled back a boulder, he heard a voice. He knew the voice. It was his son's voice. And he heard the voice. And he screamed his son's name, "Armand." And the voice answered, "Dad? Dad? Is that you?" It was his son's voice. Then the boy added these priceless words: "I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you would save me. When you saved me, they would also be saved." He remembered his father's promise. "No matter what," his father said, "I will always be there for you." 14 children were saved that day because one father was faithful. But how much more faithful is our Heavenly Father. He's so faithful. And our Heavenly Father loves to turn a tragedy into a triumph. God is still carefully removing stones from our life, stones that challenge our faith. God is the God who is capable of turning any tragedy into a triumph. And that's what he did that first Easter morning. He turned a tragedy into a triumph. The earthquake represented God's almighty power, and it was his mission, God's heart, to turn this tragedy that had occurred to his son into a triumph for all humanity on that first Easter Sunday morning. And he did it through these three things that I want to share with you this morning. I'm going to take you through these 10 verses that I just read. And as I take you through these 10 verses this morning, I want to show you how specific God is in turning a tragedy over here, into a triumph where we lift up our hearts and we begin to exalt the risen Savior. The first was this. It was the conquest of fear. We see that in verses 3-6. We see that the guards of the tomb were standing there and they were afraid. They were afraid of the angel, and with reason, because they were on the wrong side. They weren't serving God's plan, and so they had a right to be fearful. They had a good reason. And throughout Scripture, any time that an earthquake occurred, it often represented God's wrath, God's judgment, or a very violent form of destruction. Yet this earthquake was different. You see, there were two earthquakes during that Easter weekend. On Good Friday, there was an earthquake, and that earthquake caused a centurion to be a believer. And this earthquake would cause all of humanity to be given the choice to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There was this child who was involved in a Sunday school Easter pageant. And so it was time during rehearsals for the Sunday school teacher to hand out the roles. She wanted to give this little lad a speaking role, but the little lad didn't want a speaking role. He wasn't interested in speaking. He was a shy, quiet sort of lad. And all he wanted to do is he wanted to remove the stone from the tomb. So the production was directed. The production went off extremely well. And at the end of the production, the Sunday school teacher went up to the little boy, who quietly removed the roll back the stone from the tomb. And she said to the little lad, she said, "Were you fine with just moving the stone from the tomb? Why didn't you want a speaking role?" And the little boy said to the Sunday school teacher, he said, "Because letting Jesus out of the tomb, it really felt great." How awesome it was for that little boy to captivate that moment that God had intended him to experience, of moving from a tragic situation to a triumphant, joyful occasion. This little boy understood the power of God. You see, the women were temporarily afraid, and they had to conquer their fears. And fears are normal when we're facing a tragedy. They were confused. They were disappointed. They were grieving at this moment. They were in shock because of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The first words out of the angel's mouth were, "Do not be afraid." It was God's intention at that moment that the angel spoke to stir the faith in their heart, to move them from that tragedy of disbelief, from that tragedy of grief, from that tragedy of doubt, from that tragedy where their hearts were broken, into this moment where they could have the fullness of joy. They could be worshiping Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid. Jesus has conquered death. And he has risen from the grave. Martin Luther made this interesting observation about fear. He said this: God and the devil take opposite tactics in regards to fear. The Lord first allows us to become afraid that he might relieve our fears and comfort us. The devil, on the other hand, makes us feel insecure, but then he tries to make us secure in our pride and our sins, that we might later be overwhelmed with fear and despair. One of the things, as I read the scripture and I see the direction that the angel is giving, and he says to them, "Do not be afraid. I know that you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has been raised," as he said. Then he says this: "Come, see the place where he lay." One of the things that God does when we are experiencing a moment in our lives that looks like a tragedy, God comes to help us. And one of the things he does is he encourages us to receive his help. You see, we become so independent in these moments of crisis, or we become so capable, or we think we are so capable, that we actually dismiss God's help. But here, the angel's actually inviting them. He says, God wants to help you at this moment. Come here. Come and see. Look in the tomb. He's not here any longer. He has risen. He wants them to be confident. He wants them to move from disappointment. He wants them to be transitioned from their grief into this realization that they can place their trust in him. Like I said earlier, that God is still removing the stones that challenge our faith. I think that there were three challenges these two women were facing, Mary and Mary Magdalene. And the first one that I really feel really was in the way was fear. And we know that to be true because that's exactly what the angel addresses first. He says, "Do not be afraid." And so this is one of the rocks that needed to be removed from their hearts. They also struggled with disbelief, doubt. They were doubting. They weren't going to the grave to see a risen Savior. They were going to the grave with spices to anoint a dead body. They weren't going to the grave in anticipation of new life. They were going because they were grieving and they wanted to honor Christ who had given his life for them. But they had no idea that he had actually risen from the dead at that moment. And so they struggled with doubt. Do you struggle with doubt? When you're facing a tragedy in your life and you are doubting in God's promises, or perhaps you're doubting in God's love, maybe you struggle and you doubt to believe that God is the God of provision for you, the God who will protect you every single day, the God who loves you with an everlasting love, a God who does not change. He won't change. He didn't change yesterday. He won't change today, and he won't change tomorrow. You do not have to doubt that God is more than capable of taking care of your needs today. I just want to encourage you that these two women, Mary and Mary Magdalene, struggled with doubt in their lives. God had to remove that doubt that morning through the power of sending an angel, removing and rolling the stone away from the grave. The other stone that I believe stood in their way was grief. I hope you can see this. It's grief. That's what this says. Grief. Their hearts were broken. They had loved their Savior. They had spent time with their Savior. They knew their Savior. And some of you today who are looking in this morning and who are sharing this time in the Word of the Lord, you may be grieving. You may have a loss in your life. And with this epidemic that we are dealing with today, the coronavirus, some of us are dealing with a lot of grief at this moment. Perhaps we've lost our jobs. Perhaps we know of a loved one whose life was threatened. This week I lost a friend to COVID-19. That's real. Grief is real. And you can't ignore it. But that's why God allowed his Son to overcome and conquer the grave so that your grief could be given over to him. And he could actually replace your grief with a peace that passes all understanding. He this morning is grabbing and reaching out his hand to grab a hold of your hand, and he is bringing you into the tomb this morning, and he's saying, come, see, he's no longer here. He's risen, and he's conquered every tragedy in your life. I hope that's encouraging to you. Whether it's grief, whether it's doubt, whether it's fear, God is near. That rhymed, didn't it? There's so much more than a rhyme, because Jesus Christ, he's risen from the day, from the grave. Hallelujah is what I said. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you all. I am so encouraged this morning that God is rolling the stones away that challenge our faith today. That first Easter morning, God turned a tragedy into a triumph. God wants you to be commissioned this morning, and he wants to challenge you today to step out in new faith as he stirs your heart, as I've just shared with you, and he's asking you to place your fear, your doubt, your grief. Just place it in your hands like this and say, Lord, I'm giving this over to you today, because Jesus has conquered these various things in my life through the grave. I hope you're encouraged this morning. Another way that God turned tragedy into triumph on Easter, that first Easter morning, was by commissioning those who believed. We see in verses 7 to 8 that the angel actually says, go quickly and tell his disciples. And God was entrusting these women as his first agents to share the testimony of Jesus' resurrection. It was not this casual invitation. He wasn't sending out invitations to a birthday party or a retirement party. No, this was an invitation that would change humanity forever and ever. It was an invitation, and he wanted to motivate their hearts and command them. He commanded them to share the good news. You know, all of nature that morning held its breath to see who would be the victor and who would be the victim. All of nature held its breath as to who would conquer or who would be conquered. And death had been conquered because Jesus was alive. And Jesus is alive today. The women accepted their commission and obeyed the angel. The women fled from the tomb, running with the good news. They didn't just walk nonchalantly, casually, like we've been taking our walks over the last few weeks. I'm sure several of you have been actually spending more time going for these nice long walks. This was not a nice long walk. This was a quick sprint. They ran to the disciples. And you see here that in every account of the Easter story, it seems to me that it ends in a foot race. It does. You see, the woman hurried from the tomb and ran, it says in verse 8. Mary Magdalene came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples and the one Jesus loved, John 22. And then Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb, and both were running, and the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, John chapter 20, verse 4. Those bearing good news cannot simply walk, they run, because something is alive in us. Something is, we know that truth can set people free. And so here these women are, and they are intentional, and they are running as quickly as they can because they know that this good news is going to delight, it's going to free, and it's going to bring new, abundant life to the disciples, who themselves were struggling with fear, were struggling with doubt. And they too were grieving. They wanted to see their mourning turn into joy. God wants to commission you this morning. Oh, not next week, this morning. He wants to commission you this morning with a readiness and with an intentional spirit to go and share the good news. And you might be saying, Pastor James, how can we do this? We have social distancing. Well, I'm telling you, you're using your phones quite well. You've been using the internet and Zoom meetings quite well. You've been using Skype quite well and Google Chat. Why can't you use those means of media today to get out with an intentionality to share the good news of Jesus Christ? He has risen, our Savior, and we want other people to hear about it. Easter Sunday turned from a tragedy into a triumph. And when I look at verses 9 to 10, I want you to join me in the word as I read these two verses. Are you listening? Listen up. It says this. Suddenly. I love that word. It means something is about to happen. Not only had the earthquake happened, not only were the women encouraged that Jesus had risen from the grave, but now something else is about to happen. Let's find out what's about to happen. It says here, suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. In some translations, it says, rejoice. And they came to him and took hold of his feet, and what? They worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. There we go again. Don't doubt. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't grieve. I'm going to turn this tragedy. I've turned this tragedy into a triumph. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. They must have been shocked, stunned at that moment. And here they are, and they're realizing Jesus is speaking to them about going and telling, not the disciples, doesn't say that. He says, my brothers. There's something that's going on in Jesus's heart. And when I look at Jesus, when I look at that scripture and I think on that, I say, wow, there is forgiveness of our past. He's not going to give them a rundown that they denied him, that they betrayed him, that they couldn't stay awake in the Garden of Gethsemane, that they ran off once the guards came to get him in the Garden of Gethsemane. No, he's not going to mention that. He says, tell my brothers, I'm going to meet them in Galilee. Forgiveness of the past. That's what I love about the Lord. And yet on this Easter morning, Jesus wanted them, he wanted to see the disciples. He wanted to see his brothers. And isn't that just like Jesus? He knew they had deserted him. He knew they had denied him. He knew they had doubted him. Yet he still loved them. That's who he is. And that's who he is for you today. That's who the risen Savior is. He is one, no matter where you've been, no matter if you've denied him, no matter if you haven't believed in him yet, no matter if you think all this is just a fairy tale story, Jesus comes to you today and reminds you he wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with you in a very real and personal way. We see a celebration of joy. It says they were afraid, but then they moved to great joy. How do we know that? Because they fall to the ground in humility and they grab his feet and they begin to worship him. They begin to honor him. They begin to praise him. They begin to tell him of their love for him and that they're so glad that he conquered the grave and he's alive and he's standing there right in their midst. They can't believe it, but he is alive. Great joy. And they know that everyone else's world has come crashing down. They are aware that everybody else, their lives are troubled. Their hearts are troubled. And they're regretting the things that they could have done, that they should have done, that they didn't do for Jesus to protect him. But it was God's plan all along that Jesus would be nailed to the cross and that he would then be buried. And after 3 days, he would rise again from the grave and he would ascend into heaven and be seated at the right hand of the Father. There's hope for the future. We see them as they gain new confidence. The women experience this great joy in that not that Jesus just survived the grave. No, he triumphantly conquered it. And he now is saying to them, there's hope for your future. Go tell the disciples I'm alive. Go tell the disciples that this is no longer a tragedy. This has become a triumph. The women knew that great things were in store. They knew and were motivated by this great news, the good news. You may be thinking, I wish I had that level of faith to believe. I wish that I was forgiven. I wish that I had hope in the midst of tragedies or crisis in my life. Well, I want to encourage you, you can have it. And you can have it this morning. The promise of God is this, but to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave what? Power to become children of God. John 1, verse 12. You can become a child of God today by the power that raised Christ from the grave. That power can actually save your soul today. Yes, it can. And I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, God loves you, and he has a great plan for your life. You may say, Pastor James, where do you see that? And how do you know that? You don't know me. You don't know my life. I know the Word of God. And I know that in Genesis chapter 27, he created you for a specific purpose, to have a personal relationship with him. He wants you to experience a full, abundant life right here, today, on this earth. And he has come. And Jesus said this, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. John 10, verse 10 says that. I've come that you might have abundant life. What a season to receive the abundant life of Christ. What an amazing day, Easter Sunday, to receive Christ. Why do you need to receive him? Excuse me? Because there's sin in your life. There's sin in your life and you're separated from God. Romans 3:23 says that we're all sinners. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Sin separates man from God, but there is hope. Just as he rolled back the stone on that first Easter morning, he wants to roll back the stone in your heart of hard-heartedness, perhaps even disbelief. And he wants you to begin to see the current state of your own life, your own heart, and your own destiny. The price of your sin was paid. It's paid. That's what we've been reading about. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, says that in Romans 5:8. Eternal salvation is offered to you today because Jesus rose from the grave and he rose victorious and he conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered the grave. And he's offering to you today a free gift called salvation. You can't wait. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You can't be saved because of your good works. You can't be saved because of morality. You can't be saved because of religion. You can't be saved because you have Bible knowledge. You need Jesus to save you from your sins. Jesus is your answer. He's the only answer. He says this in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come unto the Father but through the Son. That's what he says in John chapter 14. So it's up to you. You must decide for yourself if you're willing to turn from your sins and ask Jesus into your heart. I want you to just, if you can, wherever you're at, whether you're watching this on your computer, on your pad, notepad or your phone, will you just bow your head with me right now? I want to pray for you. And I want to give those who are watching who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior an opportunity to pray with me. And after this, I want to welcome you to call me personally here at Joy Community Church today. I want to give you my number right now before I pray so that you have it. And you can call me here at the church and I will pray for you personally. Here's the number. It's 585-288-0030. I cannot wait to hear from you and pray for you this Easter Sunday. Bow your heads, won't you? Why don't you ask Jesus into your heart? I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, just repeat it after me, please. Dear Jesus, I ask you into my heart to be my Savior and my Lord. Forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. Turn the tragedies of my life into triumph today, I ask in Jesus' name. I pray for you now, but I'd love to pray for you later. Again, 585-288-0030. Congratulations on your new beginning. Remember this. Easter Sunday, God turned a tragedy into a triumph. Happy Easter to you all, and God bless.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.